mic, if you'd come up and it's yours.
If I could have everybody stand for the reading of the word, please. Okay, Ephesians 5, starting at verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, and always give thanks to the Lord, to the God our Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of the word. Thank you.
Good evening to all of you tonight.
I wanted to introduce what I'm going to be talking about tonight. The last couple of lessons that I've done here have been on a character trait. And let's see, we did obedience and then attentiveness. And this one is, if you're familiar with the Character Training Institute, and they have a series of lessons on characters. And that one of the things that we've been doing as a family also is going through these character traits. And a couple of the families in here are involved in a program we have called Contenders for the Faith. And it's a group of fathers and sons that get together, and we discuss character traits, we do projects, we do things that build their godly character and also train them to be skilled in field and forest and just life skills and that type of thing. And it's a real exciting opportunity, and the boys have really enjoyed that. So what I'm going to try to do tonight is somehow take that level that I've been doing with the boys and translate that into, for an older audience or a more mature audience. How about that? So with that, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we do is we go through the character definition. And again, to give credit, this is the program is called Character First that we've been using, and it's a Character Training Institute. The first thing is there's always the root of the word. And the character trait that we're going to do is cautiousness. And cautiousness is a combination of various character traits that we've studied in the past. Some that are discernment is part of it. Also attentiveness. And attentiveness is using your senses, gathering information and bringing all those things together to see what God is trying to teach us and how to order your life. Also, the discernment is understanding how things happen, understanding the deeper reasons why things happen. And so that gets us into the character of cautiousness. And this comes from a Latin word. My son corrected my pronunciation. Cautio is the pronunciation, and it's wariness, heedfulness, circumspection, and our normal word that we know very, very well is caution. So those are all the words that that bring this idea to be aware, to really understand where you are in relation to other people, other objects, things that that could cause some kind of issue in our lives. So with that, we're going to talk about the definition. And what we use in our group, the working definition is knowing the importance of right timing in accomplishing right actions. And it's kind of a subset of a lot of the parts of cautiousness, but it really gets us into taking time. One of the aspects is really taking time to gather information, gather facts before speaking or before acting. We want to understand where we are and what the relationship of the things around us are, so that we don't step into a dangerous situation. And it also helps us to prepare for split-second timing. And we've all experienced that in traffic, where we have the experience of driving, but yet there's a moment where we have to make a very quick decision to avoid collision. So those are two aspects of how consciousness works together. One example that we all have with young children is we make sure that we put away our chemicals. Anything with Mr. Yuck on it has to be put away, and make sure that the kids don't get to it. So we make sure we're cautious in that way. The definition, again, it says right timing and accomplishing right actions. And one of the aspects is, you know, what happens if you do the right thing at the wrong time? And I guess I get myself in trouble tonight, but one of the things is coming to church is a very good thing. But if you have to rush to get to church, if you have to speed to get to church, then it's not a good thing. So that is where you do the right thing and have the wrong timing involved. There's also knowing the right answer. Sometimes we know an answer, but it's the wrong timing if we speak out of turn or we're not given permission to speak. Another example is taking a walk. And there's nothing sinful about going for a walk. There's nothing dangerous about going for a walk unless you're doing it on the roof of your house. So there's some ways and some issues that we have to deal with so that we do things safely and carefully. Other definitions, giving forethought, thinking ahead to avoid harm, being careful. As Mr. Dowdy was reading the verse in the New King James, Ephesians 5:15 talks about circumspectly. And his said, be careful, or use the word, you know, care, using care. And so there's a different example there. Carefulness is also cautiousness, knowing when and how to act. And as we get into, we always talk about the opposite because it helps us understand better how the word really is if you look at the opposite of it. And there's the aspect of timing is rashness. And rashness is when you're acting without thinking, or you're not planning. You've come to the end of something you need to get done, and you got to get it done quick, and you make rash decisions to try to get it done. And so that's not being cautious. Oftentimes we make mistakes or we get into dangerous situations if we're trying to finish a project, maybe a wood project or something. We have the danger of injuring ourselves. Hurrying ahead without looking for potential dangers. If we're not looking for those dangers, normally we're saying, hey, that could happen, or this thing could be a problem. But if we're in a hurry, sometimes we put those things away because we're not taking the time for it. Another aspect, so we have the timing aspect of that, and then we also have the awareness of danger. And oftentimes the word is complacency. The opposite of cautiousness is complacency. So we have rashness and then complacency. And this is when we're not recognizing those dangers. There's dangers out there, but we're basically ignoring them. It's the idea that you worn your seatbelt for the last 10 years and you weren't in an accident, so it obviously doesn't do any good. So stop wearing your seatbelt. And so that's being complacent if you were to do that. Disaster is one false step away, and that's both physical and spiritual. And that's kind of, as we get into the scripture reading, the one thing that I wanted to just kind of have in the back of our minds is the complacency of, you know, normally we think of it as a physical issue that we could get hurt if we don't consider something. But we're also one step away from spiritual disaster if we're not being aware, if we're not being attentive to what's going on. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we often focus on the wonderful and forget the fearful, that our bodies are fragile, and so we have to be in care of that as we are considering consciousness. One question. Does the Bible have anything to say about consciousness? And so I'd like to bring your attention. I'm going to appreciate Mr. Dowdy reading the scripture. I'm going to go somewhere else first, though. And let's look at Proverbs. If you would turn there in Proverbs chapter 1. If you want to think of a book of the Bible that is cautious or teaching about consciousness, it's Proverbs. Proverbs is cautious central. And it tells a lot about almost every phrase, every chapter has something that helps us to understand cautiousness, prudence, how to be walking carefully, how to be discerning, using discretion, good judgment, and all those important words. This is in chapter 1, and I'm going to lead you to verses 32 and 33. Okay? And again, this is basically the final portion of where wisdom is speaking, and wisdom is bringing up all the ways that it can help us when we submit to wisdom's care. But then there's a flip side to it. If we ignore it, if we choose to be complacent or apathetic and say, I don't want any part of that, I want to do things my own way, then wisdom has a word for that. And it says here, this is verses 32 through 33, for the turning away or the waywardness, there's another way of saying it, the waywardness or the moving away of the simple will slay them. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. And that's, I think, kind of just a boil down of many scriptures in Proverbs that talk about what happens when the simple, and a simple person is just someone who follows their natural inclinations, their normal way of doing things, the way they like to do things, the taking the easier route, the path of least resistance. And that will take us to a dangerous place. And it says here, it will eventually slay us if we take that way that's natural to us. And then the complacency, again, is not being interested in looking for dangers, not being cautious. And it says it will destroy us. And it says, and it uses the word fool there. We'll talk more about that later. But a fool is someone who is complacent, who doesn't give a thought to what God wants them to do. It's a person who is interested in doing their own thing and not wanting to be obedient to God. So that the Bible does have a lot to say about consciousness. The next picture on the board here, these are prairie dogs. Okay? And I wasn't aware that they were so prevalent around us. I was talking to Mr. Cameron the other day, and he has tons of these. Well, I don't know if a hole is a ton, but he has these holes all over his yard. He's got prairie dogs everywhere. How many of y'all have prairie dogs in your yards? Okay. And he told some, you know, just stories of, you know, pets getting injured, pets, you know, having trouble with these prairie dogs, and just the aspect of these animals. But the reason I'm bringing up the prairie dog is that they are representative of cautiousness. And not all prairie dogs, from what I've heard from Mr. Cameron, not all prairie dogs are created equal in their cautiousness. And so, in fact, there was a story that talked about these little critters, and it talked about the differences in a very cautious prairie dog and one that wasn't very cautious. But just some of the aspects of a prairie dog that make them very cautious is that they will tend to build higher mounds. If they're very cautious, they'll build a big mound so that they can see around. Usually where they are is very flat, so they can see out there. But if there's other little prairie dogs' heads in the way, they can't see what's going on. Or if there's mounds or there's grass or there's bushes, they will want to get themselves up higher so they can see well. And so they'll build that mound up. And then if they see danger, you know, maybe there is a coyote coming, some kind of a creature, they will sound the alarm. The very cautious one will warn the others that are less cautious. And they'll have a little bark. I don't know, maybe you know what it sounds like. But they bark and they'll warn everybody, and everybody goes, you know, down in their holes to be out of danger. The other thing that they do is they create an escape route. They will burrow down even 10 feet down in the ground, and then they will have a separate tunnel that will go up, and they'll burrow that second tunnel almost all the way up to the surface, but then they'll stop within whatever inches of the top, and it's just to keep it from caving in. And the purpose of that is if there is an intruder, like a rattlesnake, that goes down in there, and they'll go and they'll chase that prairie dog all the way down into one of its chambers, and then he'll know where the escape route is, and he'll go up and then burrow the rest of the way out to escape. And so it has those aspects of cautiousness in its behavior. And let's see, I had one more here. What else did he do? Very eyes, ears, and nose very, very constantly alert. So just to give you an idea of God's creatures that represent consciousness there. Wanted to also give a broad scriptural example. We talked about a Proverbs, which talked about consciousness. There's also a good example in the book of Esther. And Esther was had an experience where she was queen in a very important position, as you all know. And her position was that she was in a very unique time when her people were in danger of being exterminated. And God had, in fact, it was Mordecai that spoke in the verse and brought out this aspect of right timing and said that, Esther, you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so she had to make a decision whether she was going to use her right timing to do a good work. If she didn't, then she would be then her people would be in great danger. So God used her in a mighty way, and so and that's an example in Esther. She had to speak at the right time, and to speak when it was difficult. The next question: why is consciousness an aspect of godly character? And I wanted to bring us back to Ephesians 5 now. And this is the portion of Scripture is surrounding that verse, verse 15 and 16. And that was one of our contenders for the faith memory verses was 15. See then, and in the New King James it reads, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And then I'm going to go back up and just talk a little and just read through that first portion and look at verses 8 through 12. And this is going to exemplify. One thing I forgot to explain is that in our character times, we would bring up I wills. And the I wills are ways, practical ways, that we can practice this character trait. Sometimes if you say, you know, God, help me to be cautious, you know, it doesn't really hit home. So we talk about certain ways that we can be cautious. And we discuss these I wills. And the first I will that I wanted to bring up was I will think before I act. And that was that's our first I will for the lesson. And the aspect there, I wanted to look at verses 8 through 12 in Ephesians chapter 5. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." I just wanted to focus on that verse 8. And we see there one of the aspects that we typically do to be cautious is if the room is dark, we turn the light on. If we're really cautious, we tend not to want to walk through a dark room and get hurt. The darkness here, though, in Ephesians is described is defined very well in an earlier portion. And I wanted to lead you there, too. It's in chapter... see if I can find that. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And this is, I think this is, when I was looking at Ephesians 5, it was reminding me that it was kind of a pivotal portion in the text. And basically a turning point. And I found as I went back and described what the part was on what it means to be darkness. And it said this, "And you were made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." So that's where we were. Before, when we walked in darkness, our minds were set on the things that were evil. So that's basically what we're talking about here. The darkness is where we're not concerned about pleasing God. We're concerned. We're turning inward. We're focusing on ourselves. And when we do that, that produces, that's the darkness that's there because of our connection with Adam. that darkness has been with us since our first parent. And one of the aspects that we have here is that darkness, we need to move out of darkness and turn to the light. And as you look at that chapter 2, and that takes you up to a portion later in the chapter, in verses 8 through 10. Of course, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so he showed his great mercy to us. And the first chapter of Ephesians is incredible because it talks about all those aspects, all those blessings that we have as a result of being in Christ. And it just it's just point after point of how God was our Redeemer and how he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And then Paul makes it clear that those people were Christians. They were in the faith. But there was more. He said that there was still more. They weren't done. And so you go back to that last the second part of chapter 1. And even though they received the grace, and even though they were saved and received Christ, and they had the grace of God in them, verse 15 through 18 says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So he knew that they needed to continue growing in their awareness, in their cautiousness. In other words, their desire to grow in their faith so that they had less of an opportunity to slip back into that known sin, that known predicament that's in the beginning of chapter 2. The I will again, I will think before I act. One of the examples in my life I was just sharing with somebody down here earlier is, as I studied through this, I realized there were so many areas in my life where I've been rash. And you know, whenever you study a passage, you realize, you know, I don't have this under control. And just a normal example, not a spiritual example, I guess. But it was just last night. I was leaving my driveway, and my mother-in-law said, "You know, is my car in your way?" And it was sitting there in the driveway. And as you may know, the car we drive is a 15-passenger van, and kind of tight in the driveway at times, you know. So the car was in just the right spot, and I often look to the left, because I want to miss the rocks that are on that side. And I always know that there's plenty of room on my right. And so I started moving out and felt a little resistance there. Didn't know what was going on. I finally looked over, see my mother-in-law's car just kind of bobbing along over there, you know. It's like a whoops, you know, came forward. And so she's got a nice little gouge on the side of her car. And so that was a great example to me, you know, think before I act. And so that's a more down-to-earth type example. But we still have to be thinking in that way. How am I able to think about doing right actions? Okay, we talked about those things in the Ephesians and how we can follow those right actions when we're walking in the light and not in the darkness. Wanted to also look at the second I will. And this is I will look out for danger. And it's related to the first one, but you know, it's giving thought to where we're going. But there's an important aspect to this one too, because sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes there's dangers out there that we don't know about. And one of the things I did with the fathers and sons is I just asked them. I said, raise your hand if you're cautious. You know, I just had them raise their hands. And very interesting that all the dads raised their hands, and none of the sons raised their hands. So, which was very honest. I was amazed. I thought that was, you know, that they were being very honest, but it was true. And I thought, well, it's because, you know, there's things we see as we get older. We see things and we experience things that remind us. We play out the movie, either because it's happened to us or because we know it's happened to someone else, or we can, you know, we think more logically through it. And we see our children, and we spend our whole days telling them, you know, don't go so fast. Wait, slow down. You know, you're going to get hurt if you do that. You know, we spend our whole day, because we see the movie. We can see it playing out in our minds what's going to happen to them. And they don't. They haven't seen the movie. Maybe it's happened to them 3 or 4 times, but they still don't have the movie in their head. So that frustrates us at times, but it really is something that we all, you know, that reminds us, when I saw that, I go, that, you know, that's me. Because I'm that way, if not physically, I'm that way spiritually. I don't see the dangers coming, and if I'm just somewhere else and I'm not thinking about it, and if I'm not in tune with the Lord, those dangers can take me by surprise. And let me take us to verses 13, back to Ephesians 5. Let's just look a little further there in that chapter. But all things, this is verses 13 through 17. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, we've seen in the early part of Ephesians, you know, the aspects of wisdom versus being unwise. Walking in a way as an unwise person where you're totally oblivious to your predicament and what's going to be happening to you. We've all been there, and we see that all around us, where people just constantly marching to destruction. And this is a danger that we need to see. Fool is someone living their life in disobedience to God. Circumspect is looking around you, being aware of what's going on around you, and not just physically, but spiritually. You know, what's happening here? What is going on in my life? And then looking at that, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I liked the version, Mr. Dowdy, making the most of every opportunity. Redeeming is recapturing, because this is a big aspect of cautiousness. It's kind of almost a reverse side of it. But it's, you know, how can we be cautious to make sure we spend every moment pleasing the Lord? And not only in our own lives, but, you know, constantly seeing how can we build that in our children? We have to be cautious in redeeming the time to make sure that we work on them with in building them up in knowledge of the Scripture and in wisdom and all those aspects. Danger. We get distracted and we squander our times. That's the danger that we're in. Sometimes we think of danger as just the things that are out there that'll get us. But the biggest danger that we have is slipping back into complacency, slipping back into the things that we know are wrong, and finding ourselves just into ourselves. Let's look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. The reason I wanted to take you there is this is an aspect of danger, and this is something that we've been talking about as a family. Particularly this area is something we deal with because, you know, it's the hidden danger. There's a danger hidden to us because we think that we're our own worst enemies, that the children getting together and their interactions, sometimes bad, sometimes good, that their conflicts are with each other and are at the flesh level. And that's because we're unaware of the real danger. We're not walking consciously because we don't really see what the real issue is. And let's just turn there and look at that. This is Ephesians 6. Y'all are familiar with this passage because it's about the whole armor of God. But I wanted to read the first part. We'll read the whole part, but focus on the first part. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so as we talked about it as a family, you know, we started talking about, you know, well, why do we do the things we do? Why did we, you know, we're maybe taking a specific example and saying, well, what caused that quarrel? You know, well, he hit me, you know, and it's a physical thing. They go, well, why'd that happen? And you start digging into it and you start bringing the heart issue out and you realize that, you know, it's the spiritual aspect, the evilness in our hearts. And they go, wow, you know, they start realizing it wasn't just me getting angry or them pushing me, but it was something deeper. And there was something as I was going through this, when I started thinking about the timing aspect, it was in verse 13, and it says there, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And I was, you know, just thinking about that. What does that mean, withstand in the evil day? You know, does that mean one day or, you know, when is that? And the way I was understanding that was that, you know, we can be going along and maybe things are going fine. And again, we get complacent. We think, hey, things are going great. And then there's a moment. There's an ambush. You know, there's the Satan's attack or, you know, whatever prompts it to cause us to slip back into our or, you know, to fall over that line into our sinful nature. And it's an ambush. It's that one time, that one moment. And, you know, are we ready for it? And that's the aspect. What can we do every day to be ready for that? Just, it's like the seatbelt. You know, if we're wearing our seatbelt, we may never need it. But we're sure grateful when we have it on and we have that accident. And so that's the aspect of the armor of God, is that there's a moment, there's a time that we have to be ready for, a time where we're going to have to be under that spiritual attack. And I wanted my son to come up and help me to show you guys the rest of the armor of God. You want to help? Come on up, Lucas. We did a normally it's Halloween, but we did this. We call it our God's Rain Party. And Lucas dressed up as the. You ready, Lucas? I'll have to call on another volunteer if you don't come up. Here, I'll show you what I got. You take your shoes off so you can come do this. You're not getting nervous on me, are you? Ready? What I'm going to show you guys, and this is one of Lucas's favorite costumes. But the armor of God is what we are to put on ourselves. The scripture right here talks about the whole armor of God and the aspects that you use to put them on. You ready, buddy? You're doing great. This is Lucas. And Lucas is just the right size for the armor of God that I've got. So he's perfect. And so I'm going to share with you guys, we're going to put it on. We're going to put it on so that you can see the order that it is in Scripture. Okay, and Lucas, what I want you to do first is we're going to put on, what's this called? Okay. We practice this.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. You can turn around like this. You think you'd be comfortable to stand up there or you sit right here? Let's put you right here. Okay, so everybody can see you and I'll hold on to you. Okay, this is the belt of truth, right? And the belt of truth, we put it on our waist. It goes around our middle because it represents Christ, because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, and the truth is that, you know, Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is God. He is the there is future rewards and punishments. There is a judgment. There is a hell. And all those truths that are part of our lives that we're constantly contending with, that has to be a truth in our lives. And so we remember that. We say we're going to put on the belt of truth, because truth is a very important aspect of how we survive during the day. If there's truth that there's a God, then there's a reason for us to be honoring Him. And what's the second piece? Do you remember? We got a whole bunch in here. The second piece is. The breastplate of righteousness. There you go. You put your arms up in the air. Okay. Let's stick your hands right through here. Okay. You got it? Okay. This is the breastplate. Ooh. You got it? We talked about it before that I wouldn't put him on a stool because he might fall off, but I think it's good for you to see him. I'll try to hold him carefully. This is the breastplate of righteousness, right? And the breastplate of righteousness reminds us of right acting, always following the safety rules, the rules that the Bible lays out for us in the 10 safety rules that we're gonna that are in the Bible, and they help us to remember that we have to live our lives right, and we have to do the right thing. That's what the righteousness is all about. Okay, what's the next one? Do you remember? What are those? That's right. These are the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. And Lucas is going to put on his shoes. And these shoes remind us that the way we live, the way we act towards each other, is an example and is a testimony to others about the God that lives in us. And we also want to be prepared to share the gospel by knowing what the Bible says about salvation and how to receive it. And so we put on our shoes because we want to be prepared. If you don't have your shoes on, you can step on something and get hurt, right? That's another aspect of cautiousness. Where are your shoes? Out in the yard. All right, so there's your shoes, and they're the shoes of the gospel, the readiness of the gospel of peace. And then what's after that? The most important piece of all. Do you remember it? This, the shield of faith. Okay, we need make sure we put on the shield of faith because that's important because Satan's firing at us, isn't he? And Satan wants to discourage us, and he wants to lead us astray. And he wants to make us wayward, and he wants to keep us from being on the straight and narrow. So we need to put on, we need to hold up that shield of faith. And if Satan tries to shoot any fiery darts at us, we're gonna know that we can trust in God to protect us. And so that's the aspect of faith in our shield, right? And the next one is, what's that called? Helmet of salvation. You got it. Okay, and the helmet of salvation, we have to put that on to protect our heads. Because our heads are very, this is where our thinking, our minds are right here. A lot of spiritual battle goes on right in here, doesn't it? We have to be ready and able to protect our minds, to renew our minds, to keep our minds from the harm that the enemy wants to do to us. And so the helmet of salvation is very important. It also reminds us, because one of the things we do as Christians is doubt our salvation. And the helmet of salvation reminds us that we cannot lose it. And that is a truth in Christ's word. What's the next piece, Lucas? You have one more to go.
The sword of the Spirit.
That's the sword of the Spirit, isn't it? And the sword of the Spirit, what else is it called? The sword of the Spirit is the?
Word of God.
The Word of God. And the word of and the sword of the Spirit reminds us that God's word is always available to us. And we want to put it in our hearts, so that we can stand up when Satan wants to put doubts in our minds and wants to turn us away from him. And so we always talk too that there's six pieces of the armor that protect us and cause us to stand in when Satan wants to attack us in that evil day. And what we want to remind ourselves too is that there's a seventh that's written in there, and we discovered that we feel like it's a piece of the armor, and it's neat because it completes it and makes it a number seven. And it's the Spirit. You got this going on? Okay, it's the prayer of the Spirit. The Spirit. How do I say it up there? Prayer in the Spirit. Okay, and that is our communication. We have aligned to headquarters, and so we can keep that communication going up to Him, and also praying for each other that we'll stand firm in the battle. So Lucas, thank you for putting on the armor of God. And you look great. You look very well protected. You look like you're going to be ready for the battle. Okay? But we better take it off you so it doesn't distract you doing the rest. Thank you very much. Okay. Put your arm straight up. Okay, all right? Okay, good. So the armor of God is a very important thing, and very important, and we found with our children, to think about every day, making that a part of their prayer cover, is putting on the armor of God before they even get out of bed, before they get busy in their day with each other. That armor has to be on before they interact as brothers and sisters. Otherwise, no protection. And so, set that over here. So that reminds us of the danger that we have to look out for. And that's a real visible reminder to us when we see that armor, that we're protected. But of course, we don't see the armor. It's inside. It's internal. It's spiritual. Okay. Let's see now, where was I? Last, quickly we'll go through our last character trait. And this one is following safety rules. In our home, we have rules to keep us safe, of course. Lots of rules to keep all of our children from getting hurt. I had an incident when I was a child. You know, it's nice to talk about childhood things so you don't look as bad when you're an adult. You don't want to bring those up. But I had one that, you know, constantly plays in my mind and reminds me. I've told my children about it. When I was eight or 10 years old, I was in the backyard with a friend playing with my dad's mower gas. We were playing with the gasoline, and we made nice little circles with the gas, and we had matches, and we set it on fire. And I just remember one time, of course, it got out of control, and I remember seeing a flame on the tip of the gas tank or the gas can, you know, just like a little flame sitting there, and we both saw it at the same time and threw dirt on it. But it's that moment in our lives where, you know, I don't never forget that, you know, I felt that God spared me and my friend from certainly disfigurement, if not death. So I remember the worst that I got from that, well, besides the spanking, was a blister on my hand. But, you know, I just look back at that and say, you know, when my parents say, don't play with gasoline, you know, they didn't have to say that. Don't play with matches. There were certain things that were common sense that you don't play with. But those were all safety rules. Much of the Bible is a safety rule book. You know, there's aspects to the Bible of do's and don'ts, but we know that, as we know as parents, they're there for protecting our loved ones. They're protection for us because He loves us. And God doesn't want us to get hurt. We live in a very dangerous world, and so there's the physical dangers, and the Bible has a lot to say about how to protect ourselves and how to be safe physically. But as we've been reading here, it talks about the safety rules of how to protect yourself spiritually. Here's one definition that I thought was very interesting. And this was there's a few safety rules there at the end of Ephesians 5. And one that was very interesting was, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And I never looked at dissipation before, and I thought it was a very interesting definition. And I think I've got it up here so you can read it too. It's long. But this was in the Webster's 1828. It says, a dissolute, which is a lawless or immoral person, dissolute, irregular course of life. This is what dissipation means. A wandering from object to object in pursuit of pleasure. A course of life usually attended with careless and exorbitant expenditures of money and indulgence in vices, which impair or ruin both health and fortune. And it was a very interesting definition because it just really, to me, brought together the futility of following into the areas of foolishness, where our apathy leads us, where our complacency leads us, and where we can find ourselves so quickly if we're not being aware, is in that going from flitting, you know, from one thing to the next, trying to find out what gives us happiness. Just like, you know, we hear that as the world, but we're that way if we don't put our faith and we don't have our desires in Christ. And so just want to leave that with you, that we would follow those I wills. Those are three I wills that we can work on to practice cautiousness. And with that, I'd like to close us in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that you're a blessing to us, and we thank you so much that you love us so much. And Father, we're thankful for Ephesians that helps us to see, Father, that you are a God of great gifts. You are a God who wants to bestow all those gifts on us, and you want to give. You've given us those gifts freely. And Father, We just have to reach out and receive it, and it's free for us, Father. But it cost you so much, and we thank you that those things are ours for proclaiming, and we can obtain them. The Bible in Ephesians says that they're obtainable, and they're there for us to obtain. And Father, it's a very sad thing to realize that our complacency leads us to just wandering and being involved in things that are useless, that lead nowhere, that are a waste of time. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to realize, to walk in the way that we have formerly as we give our heart to you, to make sure that if we've fallen away or if we're on the verge of just slipping, Father, we know that we have to be constantly vigilant, constantly aware, or we would fall over that edge away from you. And Father, we just pray that our hearts should be focused, that our hearts would be doing the things, Lord, that honor you and please you. And Father, we're thankful for the chapter of Ephesians that tells us that, Father, you've through grace you've saved us by our faith. And Father, we're so thankful that you blessed us that way. And we know that all these things lead us, Father, to where we have to be concerned about those dangers. And we have to constantly be vigilant. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be focused on that. That we would be, as a church, lifting each other up, recognizing others, just like a parent would recognize a certain danger in our children's lives. That we would be looking and helping each other to see the dangers that we might be finding ourselves in. And Father, we just pray that you'd help us to walk as a family, help us to walk as a church that honors you and loves you. And we thank you for all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.